Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, "This is what I'm meant to do." Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network. On.
The government is considering part funding the construction of thousands of student beds on university campuses, which were shelved due to soaring construction costs. This comes as fears mount that student accommodation shortages will reach crisis levels in September due to a shortage of private rented accommodation. Now, we're joined by Carl O'Brien, education editor with the Irish Times, who's been writing about this potential development, and by Molly Greenough, who's the Students' Union president. Good morning and welcome to you both. Molly, we'll start with you. Good morning.
So much for having me on today.
You're on FaceTime, I believe. It's a bit down, and perhaps our connection's not great, but we'll try anyway. What is the situation like for this forthcoming academic year? How panicked are students?
Students are understandably very panicked. In our view, the student accommodation.
No, we're going to have to abandon that line for the moment. We'll try and get you maybe on the telephone or something like that, Molly, because it's not really working. Carl, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you've been writing about the proposal from government. How firm a proposal is this, or is it a speculation?
It's been something that's been examined certainly over recent months, and as I understand it, it's been discussed at cabinet level in the last week. So it's a serious proposal. I think it's receiving serious consideration, and it is considered vital, certainly by universities, to unblock a lot of student accommodation projects, as you said, which have been shelved. Just to give you an example, you know, there's about 40 student accommodation projects on campuses and being planned by private developers, and many of them have stalled. Now, they alone would deliver about 10,000 or more bed spaces. Yep. Now, they've been stalled because the reality is that if universities or private developers went ahead and built them, that they would have to charge exorbitant rents to make ends meet. And so by the estimates of DCU alone, they would argue that if they pressed ahead with their own plan for a 1,240 bed student village, which has planning permission, it's ready to go, but if they went ahead with it tomorrow, by the time it would be built, they'd be charging rents of about 16, maybe 17,000 euros a year. And now, to put that into context, their existing on-campus student accommodation is about 5,000 or 6,000. So you're talking, you know, maybe three times.
You'd expect people in universities to be able to do the sums. So, you know, maybe those estimates are right. But it doesn't seem to me to be hugely sensible. I mean, this is not a commercial venture as far as the colleges are concerned. I mean, they can amortize this over 80 years if they want to. You know, they don't have to get a return tomorrow. They just have to pay ongoing interest on loans. That's the way it could be structured, and that would bring the cost down.
Certainly, I think when you talk to university presidents, they would argue that they've looked at it from every possible angle. And bearing in mind that they are getting typically European Investment Bank loans to fund these types of developments. But even that, it's the getting the loans is not necessarily the problem. It's delivering the construction, and it's delivering rents then they're at an affordable level. And as we know, when we factor in construction costs, delivering anything at an affordable level is very, very challenging at the moment. So they would argue that something does need to unblock this. And to give that example of DCU, which I think kind of captures it, they've had planning permission for about 2 years for a very big student village. Yeah. They've had planning permission, the project tender is ready, but they just haven't been able to make the sums add up. And that's so it's been stalled for about 2 years. And in the meantime, as we know, the housing accommodation crisis is getting worse. You know, it looks like interest rates are only heading in one direction in the meantime. So they don't see this happening in the medium term. So if we're going to get these construction projects moving, I guess something will have to happen. Whether state funding is the answer, you know, is a matter of debate.
Okay, the 10,000 beds you talk about, are they shovel ready? I mean, do they all have planning permission? They've gone through all the potential challenges and are ready to go?
They are. So those 40 projects all have planning permission. They'd effectively be ready to go, I guess, assuming that the construction industry is in a position to be able to begin work on those. But certainly the plan permissions have been there. The hard work, if you like, on the design stage and the plan permission has been done. It's just a matter of getting the sums to add up in terms of having affordable rents, which is the key here. And this argument, certainly, that the state or the government is saying to the universities is that, you know, if we are to subvent you, which would be, you know, considerable amount of money in many cases, you would have to give us guarantees. And what is a guarantee? That you will deliver this accommodation within a certain timeline. And more importantly, that you will deliver affordable accommodation within a certain price range. So they would be the quid pro quos from the government side.
Now, Carl, there has been some noise made in recent months about the building of this kind of stuff, that it's going for the Rolls-Royce type of accommodation. I'm one of those who years ago shared graduate accommodation in the United States. I shared a room with a guy. He had a bed and a desk and a wardrobe. I had a bed and a desk and the wardrobe. They were opposite each other in a relatively small room. There were communal bathrooms and there was a communal recreation area. You know, we're not going for that. We're going for en suite. We're going for the Rolls-Royce version. Many students would happily go for the version I've described if the price was right.
I think they would, Pat. And I think that has been a challenge, particularly in the private sector. So if you look around Dublin and Cork and Galway as well, a lot of the student purpose-built student accommodation you'll see has been provided by private developers. And there's been a number of incentives that have kick-started that. If you like, if you think back, they were the developments that started first before the house building. And it made sense for those private developers. There was a very big return on them in terms of, you know, the dimensions of the apartments were smaller. You don't have to provide underground car parking, for example, those kinds of things. So, what they were aimed, though, predominantly at the international student market, which is more lucrative, and typically those students would be able to pay more. So when you look at those accommodation units, they're starting at about €1,000. That's a minimum, €1,000 a month. So that's out of the price range for, I would say, a good many Irish students. So, okay, that is dealing with one cohort of the student accommodation demand, but we're still not meeting the needs of particularly Irish students. So you have this shortage of purpose-built student accommodation. You have the private supply, which has really been drying up for a whole range of reasons relating to COVID and trying to house Ukrainian refugees. And then you have the student digs issue. So families, understandably, were less likely to offer rooms to rent during the high point of COVID. There is a hope now in government and within the university sector that, given that you can make up to €14,000 a year tax-free on the rent room scheme, and against the backdrop of the rising cost of living, that more families will be tempted to go down this route. So that's really, I think, the only hope of easing some of this
crisis. And if people are back to work, perhaps that room now will be free, which wasn't free because people were using that spare room for remote working. We'll just go back briefly to see, can we get Molly Greeno, the student union president. Molly, are you there?
Hi, Pat. How are you? Can you hear me a bit better?
That's a better line. I just want you to outline kind of the mood among the student body, people who are hoping to go to college, hoping to get accommodation. The results will come out later. The scramble for accommodation is kind of, it has to be speculative because you're hoping to go to one college, but you might end up in another. I mean, it's all a bit of a mess.
Yeah, I suppose I think a mess is the perfect way to describe the situation we're in currently. I think the student accommodation crisis is is at an absolute breaking point. I'd argue it was at a crisis point last year as well. It seems like every July, student union officers go on and express how difficult of a situation it is for students, but the can keeps just getting kicked farther and farther down the road by government. And it seems we're in the a very similar position, not a worse one than we were last year.
Now, Molly, if the government does intervene in this way and offer up to 40% of a subsidy for the capital cost of building these things, you know, someone going into first year this year, they might be finished college by the time this stuff would be built.
Yeah, I suppose that's the issue really, is any time or any kind of long-term investment in accommodation is going to take time, and students need immediate action and their families as well. I suppose even extending the rent or room relief scheme and advocating for that isn't a new solution, really, in our view. There's been a lot of talks recently. Scrapping the student accommodation charge would be, scrapping the student contribution charge would be a really meaningful measure that the government could enact rather quickly.
You're talking about the registration fee, the $3,000 a year.
Yeah, the $3,000.
That if that was liberated, it would be available for rents. Of course, that would also go into the pockets of those who were commuting maybe a very short distance from home to their college. So obviously there are inequalities or inequities there that might creep in. Molly, thank you very much for joining us. Sorry about the bad line at the beginning, but that's Molly Greenough, who is the UCD Students' Union President, and we're also talking to Carla Bryan, Education Editor with the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Running a business is hard work. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI, from site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want, the way you want, and manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.